Well, you spotted the mystery verse, and it was Romans 11 and verse 25. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, we've got to try and make sense of all that. But he's saying to the non-Jews who have become Christians that he doesn't want them to be proud. You know, like we get football teams or sports teams now, if a team goes a goal out very stupidly, they all get, ha ha, we're better than you. I mean, that's what they mean when they shout and they yell and we've got a goal and all these things. They're not aware they're going to lose 2-1, but they shout as if they're the winners, you know. And he's saying here that if you are saved and you are not a Jew, you don't want to be saying how silly the Jews are. So he says, I want you not to be ignorant of the mystery, that there is a blindness and unable to believe that has settled upon the nation of the Jews. Now, Jesus Christ was a Jew. All the first 12 apostles and the one that replaced Judas were Jews. Every New Testament book was written by a Jew. So there is no way that we can believe that there aren't Jews that are saved. And it's a good way of appealing to Jews who believe that the Lord Jesus is against them, because earlier generations of Christians have persecuted Jews, which was very wrong of them to do. We have to tell them that there were Jews who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to try initially to take you through the themes that Paul raises. And in Romans chapter 2 and at verse 28, Paul says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. And then 29, he is a Jew who is one inwardly. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Now, I was talking to one among you here whose citizenship is not British. There are a number of you here whose citizenship is American and not British. But we are all citizens. If we're old enough, if we've travelled abroad, we may have passports. It's not a question of age, it's whether we've travelled. But we're British or we're American, we might be some other race. Now, they say that the English don't brag about being English so much as the Scots brag about being Scots, and the Irish about being Irish, and the Welsh about being Welsh. That just may be true. I never thought about being anything other than British. Or I've certainly never thought in terms particularly of being English. But we do belong, and it's important that nothing can take away that we're British or American. Even if we're American criminals, well, their criminal justice system will deal with it, but it doesn't take away that we're Americans. And of course, if we're bad, it brings shame on our country, same if we're British. It doesn't take away our Britishness if we're criminals, but it does bring shame that British people should do such thing. You've got that anyway. Now, but the Bible teaches that the important thing about being a Jew, if you were born a Jew, is not to say that you were Jewish by race, but Jewish by belief, Jewish by faith. Now, they bragged that Abraham was their father. That is to say, that Abraham was their ancestor. But what made Abraham special, what made him great, was that when he lived among thousands of idols in the city of Ur of the Chaldees, when God spoke to him, he forgot all about all the thousands of idols that were round about and followed the Lord absolutely. And what made Abraham who he was his faith in God. So the Bible goes a step further and says that a true Jew is one who has the faith like Abraham had. If he is just Jewish by birth but has no faith, he's not a proper Jew really. Do you get the idea? If you can understand that principle, you'll understand what the Bible says. And the whole battle that the Lord Jesus had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees was along this line. They were all against the Lord Jesus. And when they bragged about Abraham, Jesus said on one occasion, this is not what Abraham did. See, you're not really true to your father Abraham. Abraham didn't do the things that you think. And so, have you grasped the idea that there is a true Jew or a true Israelite and there is one that is not really, but the thing that makes them true is the faith that Abraham had in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, his son. They didn't know that they did believe in Christ, but they didn't know that Jesus was going to be the Christ, if you can understand that. They believed that there would be a Redeemer, a Saviour, a Mediator. They did believe there was an anointed King coming, which is what Christ and Messiah means, but they didn't know it was the person of Jesus. And the Old Testament, you see, did believe there would be a Messiah, but they didn't believe when the Lord Jesus came that he was that Messiah. And so they failed. They're still looking for one to come, because they won't find one, because there's not going to be another. So that's the basis here. So, first of all, then, in Romans 2, verse 28, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And then in chapter 3, I'm just giving you just so that we've got the basis. Chapter 3, he goes on to say, well, now then, if a person is only a Jew, not by faith, but a Jew by race only, what advantages has he got? And Paul doesn't say none at all. He says lots. But the main one, he says, this is verse 2, much every way. But most of all, because the Old Testament writings were committed to them. That's the main thing. The oracles of God were committed to them. And he says, it doesn't matter if some of them didn't believe. It doesn't make the teaching of the Bible, which they were to look after, any less true. God can't be made a liar because I go wrong. And then they quote the whole big passage about there is nobody who's righteous. No, not one. And you see, if I say, for example, that I am not a sinner, or I don't believe there is any need for the Lord Jesus Christ to be my saviour, I am making God a liar. Because he has said in the Bible that all have sinned and that we need Jesus to be our saviour. It's God or us. And Paul says, I'm sure God isn't a liar. And if I don't think like that, then I've got it wrong. So the Jew was taught by the Bible to understand that they were all sinners. But then, like all of us, they began to wriggle to get out of it. And I think it's important that you should again understand this as a principle. You might think to yourself, I'm much better than old so-and-so, see, who does things that I wouldn't dream of doing. But then you're saying, you know, that word better is a comparative. But God does not say, I'm not interested whether you're better than so-and-so. I'm only interested in whether you're without sin. Of course, you can't be without sin unless the Lord Jesus has taken them away. I know I've told you this illustration before, but it is useful. When I was younger, if you were to be caught speeding, a police car had to chase you for a distance that I've forgotten. I think it was half a mile, and actually verify by his machine that you were doing 33 miles an hour if it was in a 30 limit or whatever. It was quite difficult to prove, and if you spotted there was a police car behind you, you could slow down. But you see, the cameras are different. The cameras will get everybody who's going over the limit. And in one sense, the fine may be more, but in one sense it doesn't matter whether you're doing 35, 55, 85, you're still going to be had. And the person who's doing 35 can't say, I wasn't doing 45, I wasn't doing 45 like that one. And the one who's doing 45 says, I wasn't doing 85 like that one. They're all wrong. A lot of them are wrong. There's no point in them comparing themselves with one another and saying, I wasn't as bad as the other person. We're all judged as guilty sinners. We don't need to look at anybody else. We may not do things that other people do. Other people may not do things that we do. But we know that we are not perfect. And God, therefore, looks at us and demands that perfection. Now, the Jew who knew these things from the Bible didn't really understand. He didn't understand that what made the faith of Abraham, what made him right in the sight of God, was his trusting in God. God counted that to him for righteousness, for salvation. God counted these things towards him. And so there were many thousands of people in the Jewish nation who didn't understand that. And they thought that they would definitely be saved because they were Jews. They thought that they would definitely be saved because they were of the chosen nation. And they were mistaken. Because the only thing that saves them is trusting in the Lord. Now, that's the basis on which Paul is speaking and in which he comes to his argument in chapter 11. He's beginning to come. He's made the point in chapter 9 that even where there are brothers, that one might believe and the other one might not. And he makes the point in chapter 9 that though they are all the seed of Abraham, the children of Abraham, it was only down the line of Isaac that the calling to be of the seed of Abraham was followed. So there were those who were chosen even within that Israel, and there were those who were not. So in chapter 11 he comes to the point and he says, has God cast away his people? Now we know that the Jews have been scattered across the world because of their unbelief of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ prophesied that soon after his death, in fact it was just less than 40 years after his death, everything that was concerned with Jerusalem, the head of their religion, the centre of their nationhood, would be destroyed, and they would be permanently scattered across the world. But the same thing applies. They can still exercise faith, because it's not their nationhood, their political thing that's going to count, it's their trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he asks the question at the beginning of chapter 11, verse 1, has God cast away his people? And his answer is very disarming. God forbid. For I'm an Israelite, and I know he's not cast away me, and that's the whole thing is proved in himself. You see, I was saying to you that the apostles, that they were Jews. So clearly, the whole nation is not cast away. Just because a majority of people who are not Jews are saved, there are still Jews that are being saved. There are still Jews that are being saved. But there is a blindness. The majority of them do not understand about the Lord Jesus, do not want to know about being Christians, do not want to know, though they historically were the people of God, the majority of them now don't want to know these things. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, but not totally. There are always Jews being saved. And there are Jews who are particularly interested that other Jews should be reached with the gospel. In the TBS, for example, we print a large number of modern Hebrew scriptures. And we keep them in a warehouse in Israel. And we give them out on a large scale there. And Jews witness to Jews, Christian Jews witness to other Christians in that country. We witness to them in other countries as well. But the answer to the question, has God cast away his people, is no, absolutely not, says Paul, because I am one and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called me. I am not cast away. Now he said, I agree with you that there aren't many. Okay? I agree with you that there aren't many. And he quotes the scriptures. He takes the story that many of you will know, the story of Elijah. He speaks about how he was went to the Lord and prayed about how everybody in Judah was worshipping the prophets of Baal. And he said to the Lord in prayer, I'm the only one left. Everybody else has turned against you. I'm the only one left. Now, I want you to remember this, because if times get even tougher than they are now, we might be tempted to say we're the only one left. There are places in this country where there aren't many Christians left. And for those who are, and they're getting older, they may think they're the only one left. And it's not a proper thing to think. And the answer that God gave to Elijah, you remember, was that he had reserved, that's very interesting, isn't it? He had reserved 7,000 people who had not bowed the image to Baal. They didn't seem to know each other. They didn't seem to know that there was scattered here, there and everywhere, there were a few thousand people. But 7,000 people were not very many compared with the size of the nation. However, looked at another way, I suppose 7,000 people in that generation, considering you've got 144,000 symbolically who will be saved, is quite a good proportion of that. However, not to make the point of it, but what he's saying is that the Lord had, although Elijah didn't know it, 7,000. Now when Paul was saying, I know I'm saved, he says, the Bible speaks that it's always going to be relatively a few. The term is remnant, just a bit left. There were only 7,000 then, but there were 7,000. The Lord had reserved, in other words, he'd always intended, and he'd made the circumstances such and put it into people's hearts, even if they hadn't been taught that they were not to bow the image to Baal. And then he says, of course, this is due to God's choice of them through grace. He says, even now there is an election according to grace. Now, grace simply means love undeserved. And he makes the wonderful point, doesn't he? He says, now, if you work, if you believe that at the end of your life, all the works that you've ever done will all add up and God will look at them and say, there were 500 good ones, 500 bad ones, the scales would balance, that would be okay. But 499 good ones and 501 bad ones, and that's you gone, you see. And that whole idea that we will earn our salvation like you would earn wages has the technical term, we call it in the Bible, a religion of works. You're seeking to earn, to buy your way to be saved. But if it's nothing to do with anything we've done, but if our having our eyes open to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that God freely gives us, then that's free. If we're going to work, it's right that we should have our wages. But if we're going to be given the gift of salvation, we shouldn't claim that we deserve it and we've worked for it. And he makes that sort of distinction right throughout there. So he says, there were Jewish people who believed in the Lord Jesus, but the majority of them didn't. And he has this picture of an olive tree. Olive trees are very fruitful. They're one of the trees that bear lots and lots and lots of fruit. And what he says, any of you who are gardeners, is you could look at it that non-Jews have been grafted in to the stock of the Jews. And that it's really taken over. There's perhaps only one branch that's Jewish, so to speak, and all the other branches are Gentiles. But if you Gentiles, you see, you non-Jews begin to brag that you've got the gospel and they haven't, he says, well now, what was the condition that they were saved? It was that they exercised faith. And if you go off the boil, if you don't think any more of faith, but that you deserve it and you can brag against the Jews, you may find that you get pulled out as a branch from that stock, and the Jews will be put in. So, I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, that blindness is in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now we've got to try and work out exactly what Paul is saying here, and I have to say to you, I suppose, that this is my understanding of it, that this is probably disputed by many as to how we should interpret it. But it's always seemed to me that the true interpretation of that, I do not see myself how the Jews can be saved on any other basis than by the preaching of the gospel. I do not believe that they can be sustained in their belief in the gospel in any other way than how the Gentile Christians are sustained in their belief in the gospel. So he says here that blindness is in part happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now, there is, we've seen that not all Israel are Israel. We began there, I wanted you to understand that. So when he says all Israel will be saved, he's not talking about the nation, he's talking about the believing people of Israel. And he goes on to say in one of the letters, I can't think which verse it is, but he calls all Christians the Israel of God. The Israel of God. The fullness of the Gentiles is when the last Gentile shall be saved. There's going to come a time when the last person who's ever going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will have come to that faith. And the Lord says that when the last believer who is elect to be saved has come to an understanding of that gospel and believes, then the Lord will return. None of those who've been chosen will be lost. He will not return until the last one has been born and brought to the new birth and saved. And that will be the time of the when all Israel shall be saved. So the fullness of the Gentiles and all Israel being saved is one and the same thing, as I understand it. I would not have you, brethren, ignorant of this mystery, that blindness is in part happened to Israel, that's the nation of Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles, that's the last Gentile ever to believe, happens. When that happens, the whole of the Israel of God, of Jew and Gentile, will be complete. The time is one and the same. And so it is that at that time, ungodliness will have been taken away and their sins will have been taken away forever. Now God has concluded, he says in verse 32, God has concluded all of us in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all, Jews and Gentiles. The Lord's verdict upon us all is that we are unbelievers, that we're by nature dead in trespasses and sins, that by nature we are not saved. But the Lord desires to exercise mercy on his children, whether they are Jew or whether they're Gentile. And this is a wonderful thing that we cannot fully understand. And he says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments. Who has known the will of the Lord? Who knows how these things are going to work out? And he says to the Christians who are Gentiles, rather than boasting, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world. Now, I have jumped over much of the subject. I tried to show you the various mysteries, and this one particularly, the Lord says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. But we who are not Jews have entered into that great Judeo-Christian heritage. We have the scriptures which initially was given to them. We have the whole idea of God, I am that I am, one God, a holy God. We have the whole record of creation and the flood. All these things we have through the Jews, but they did not value their own heritage. Only those who had the same faith as Abraham. And those who enter into the gospel and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have entered into that heritage. There are Jews being saved, there are non-Jews being saved. Many, many more non-Jews being saved than there are Jews. But we all of us together trust the same Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole of Israel, when it is complete, will be made up of all the Jews are going to be saved, all the Gentiles are going to be saved. The time of that will be when the last Gentile is gathered in, and all Israel, the true Israel of God, shall be saved. It is a mystery. We don't know all the ins and outs of these things. But it is not right for us to have feel any superiority over the poor Jews who don't believe in that sort of thing. Our job is to take the gospel into all the world among the Jews and among the Gentiles. To Peter it was given to take them to the Jews initially, and to Paul it was given, though he was a Jew, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. if it should happen, he says, if it should happen, what a wonderful thing it would be if there was a great number of Jews saved, because they would have a knowledge of their heritage and they would help the non-Jewish Christians to believe so much more fundamentally, so much understanding. But the Jewish Christians do have the gospel, and we do know it, and though we might not understand all the significance of the Old Testament types and things, nevertheless we do know all that we need to know, provided we don't brag about it and exercise a superiority and claim that we are one better than the Jews. I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. I'm sorry I've had to condense it down, there's so much, there are books, huge books on the subject, but I trust that we will begin just to get a grasp on the significance of this mystery. It was not revealed until Christ came. The Jews really thought that if you were going to be saved, you had to be a Jew. The very first Christians, who were nearly all Jews, thought you could only become a Christian if you became a Jew first and were circumcised, and all that, you see. And that was all worked out that no, that was not right. You didn't have to become a Jew first. What makes you of the Israel of God is faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't come behind a little bit the Jews who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all believers equally and in our own right. Well, may the Lord help us to understand these things.